Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best. Hello and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and here we are again. I'm trying to catch my breath. I don't know why. I was just telling our guest that I get a little breathy, like my heart beats faster when I do these. And I think it's just because I get excited and I want to do the best job possible. And even when I feel so excited and relaxed, I still get like a little bit of nerves. And I, you know, there's such a fine line between nervous and excited. And so I think it's cool when we can recognize those spaces. And so I'm leaning in and I'm telling you about it because I experience it too. You may see me on the here and think like Amy's like such a pro. She's like, doesn't even get nervous, but that's not true at all. We're all in the same boat. We all get nervous all the time. So, okay. That said, hi, and welcome to the show. I'm so excited because this is our Summer of Sex series, and we have an epic guest again today, and we're just going to go deeper, no pun intended, every single time that we do this. So I am so excited to welcome you here today, and thanks for showing up for these, because the idea is that through sexuality, we're going to keep expanding, and I've been doing that in my own life, especially the last year. If you've been paying attention to these shows at all and a lot of content that I've been sharing, that's been very much on my mind and opening me up in ways in my life that have surprised me and made me happier. And so there's not a limit to this, and it's never too late. So if you feel like you're behind, just you may be my age, I don't know, but it doesn't matter how old you are. We can always keep like finding new spaces to expand. So I'm really excited to do that today with our guest, Sophia LaPage. You may have heard of her called Sophia LaPage, but that's not it. It's Sophia LaPage, our bougie BFF. Is that correct? Bougie Oracle Bestie, yeah. NLP Master Coach. You are a master practitioner of timeline therapy, a Vedic astrologer in training or officially
in training.
In training. Yeah. And you are the host of the Feminine Leadership Podcast. And I am so excited to welcome you today. Thank you for joining.
Oh, thank you for having me, Amy. I'm so excited to see where we take this conversation.
Me too. Me too. I think I kind of wanted to start because I was looking through a lot of your beautiful website, absolutely stunning. And one of the things you talk about is having a quantum shift. And I think sometimes that term can be a little nebulous. Like, what does that even mean? It sounds like it's just a thing that's thrown around a little bit. So what does that look like in like real practical everyday terms?
Yeah, it definitely is a buzzword right now. And I think sometimes it's used a little excessively. But what I mean by quantum shift is, and this is what I do with timeline therapy and NLP, is it's you enter the session believing one thing, having the certain thoughts, feelings, experiences, beliefs, mm-hmm. and then you end the session with a whole new set of beliefs, thoughts, feelings, and actions. So it's kind of like an epic and instant shift in your reality. So you enter as one person and you leave as not as another person, but more as more yourself than you've ever felt in your life.
Or maybe jumping like timelines.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you believe in that kind of thing, which, you know, I don't know. And so, yeah, like jumping into just a new version of you.
Yeah. And I think that I love the timeline analogy because I feel like all, like our whole life is built on our choice, on our beliefs, because our beliefs inform our thoughts, inform, our emotions, and then our choices. And we can only make choices based on what we see in front of us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times things are out of reach for us if our beliefs are preventing us from seeing what other choices there might be. Yeah. So that shifting of timelines is almost like it's a shifting into realizing that there are different choices available that then can change the whole course of your life, basically.
What did it do for you? How did you get there?
Yeah. So for me, I've had like a very twisty, turny journey. If I'm like, okay, which context? Oh, take it in the sex context.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm on to my second and final marriage. There will be no more.
But in never my... say never as someone twice divorced.
No, Amy. But in my first marriage, I just was so disconnected from my body and so disconnected from my sex. And I remember feeling like, God, I just much prefer to read a book than have sex. Like, this is just so, there was no pleasure for me inside of it, like, because I was so in my head and I was thinking about how does my body look and what do I need to, how do I need to perform to make sure mm-hmm. that he is feeling good and then will stay with me and doesn't have any issues. So that, you know, I was always trying to kind of like stop gap any potential problems.
It's like managing the situation,
right?
Which we do in other ways too,
right?
So I'm can totally relate.
Yeah. So I saw sex as a way of managing his happiness so that he would stay and not leave me. And a quantum shift that I've experienced in my life is coming into the space of like, wait, what about my pleasure? And the fact that like sex is about me connecting deeper with myself and also therefore connecting deeper with my husband.
How'd you realize that though?
I think it started off, it came first through feminine embodiment work. Mm-hmm. So I was always very heady, always in my head. So the more that I started to get into my body, it started through doing yoga and then Kundalini yoga mm-hmm. and then like feminine embodiment practices and sacred sexuality and yoni work and womb work. That really helped to open me up so much more. And then since I started working with NLP and timeline therapy, I've like done so much limiting belief work and recognizing, because what I find is as we sort of move through the layers, we start to discover what's that really core thing mm-hmm. that's the deepest thing that makes the biggest shift. And so for me, it was recognizing that like the pressure that I felt was outside of me from my partner or my husband or whoever to be a certain way in sex or for sex to go a certain way was a sort of an externalization of the internal pressure that I felt to be perfect and to show up perfectly. And so being able to shift that has had like a tremendous, created a tremendous opening in the way that I now experience sex and intimacy, and not just the sex and not just the intimacy, but my marriage and my relationship as a whole.
How long ago was this?
It's been, this particular one has been like much more recent.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because there's always like little things that I discover and then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I thought I got to the end of it. And then I'm like, wait, there's another one. Damn it.
Same. No, I can really relate because too, I feel like I lived my life like even up until just a few years ago and I'm about to be 51 and just like thinking that there's a right way. And I think that like noticing that that's in something so intimate can really get you like, oh shit, I'm doing it there too, you know? And it's like this microcosm of your whole life. And if you can let it out there, if you can stop putting this pressure that it's, there's a right way, then it can spill out or vice versa, I think. But sex is a great place to start and, or at least keep working on too.
Yeah.
Maybe not start, but yeah, I think that's why I asked too how recent it was, because, you know, for me, it's been really recent. Like it's been in the last year that I've really actually gotten so much further on this. So did you notice that throughout your life? Were you kind of like a people pleaser?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been my biggest thing to
I think I saw through. Codependent somewhere in your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Same. Me too.
Me too. I think so many of us,
I think honestly. I think it's a woman thing a lot of times. Like so many of us can relate. And you want to do everything and you want to do it right. Justin and I just had a fight, like the dumbest fight today, but it was just like I felt like I wasn't doing it right. And you know, that's what I was being called out on. And it just triggered me into like, oh, there's another place where I'm not doing it right. And I had to like say, you know, no, you are like, I'm doing my way is right. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like for me, I don't even remember a time in my early life where I wasn't trying to be what I thought someone else wanted me to be. You know, like from a really little kid, like I remember being in first grade, and it was a coloring competition that we were doing in class. And I spent so long coloring it in because I wanted every line to be going in the same direction.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like 7 years old. And I didn't get it completely finished. And I was devastated. And I was like, I've let myself down. What's my teacher going to think?
Oh,
like, you know, all these things, like all these kind of like this standard that I set for myself that was so high. And I think that what was underneath that was the feeling that if I didn't meet those standards, then that I wasn't lovable. You know, and so it was like about what can I give, what can I provide, who can I be here that proves that I'm worthy of attention or love or validation or care, you know? And it's honestly quite exhausting. So I'm glad that I've mostly left that one behind by now, because I'm like, I got shit to do.
Yeah, no joke. Right. Because like you've moved into this very playful way of teaching women, mainly. You mostly teach women clients, right?
Yeah.
Teaching women how to lean into playfulness. And it's very hard to be playful when you're planning and managing. And I've read some social media posts from like moms that are like, I can't remember, there's one in particular that's jumping to mind. And she was just talking about how she was like planning something like a birthday party or something and was not even able to enjoy it. And like, it's about learning how to enjoy.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I had this, I did with my friend, we did a little mushroom journey together. Mm-hmm. I think it was in maybe November, and our intention was just to have like quite a light little journey. And at first we were just like chatting, and then we're like, okay, wait, we've got to tune in with what the medicine is telling us. And so I closed my eyes and I was like, okay, medicine, all right, mushrooms, show me my business plan. Like, what do I need to do to take my business to the next level? And I got this really vivid picture of myself just rolling down this hill going, wee! And I was like, what the hell is this? I just started laughing. And then I told my friend, she's like, yeah, just play, have fun. And I was like, that is so true. Like, this is I think that coming at the longer I move through my life, right, the older I get, the less serious I become and the better things work for me.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
Because when we get more rigid, and I think some people get older and do get more rigid, you know, they get a lot more set in their ways and this is the way it has to be. And that's such a dangerous space because it's so unfun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unfun for yourself and unfun for everyone around you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so much more fun to be less serious.
Yeah.
You know, that's why even when we sat down, I'm like, whatever. If your phone goes off, we move. Like, you know, like we can't get, it's a podcast. This is not like, you know, we're not performing heart surgery. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Or are we energetically?
That's right. Yes. So what do you start, where do you start with someone when you're saying, okay, we're going to step into more playfulness in your life? Like, what does that look like to start with? And, you know, what are some practices that you start telling people, or what did you do?
Okay.
Or so all of the above.
All of the above. Mm-hmm. So, well, first of all is belief work, because I think it all starts and ends with that. Because, and what I find so much in the spiritual community is like, and I've definitely had to go through this too, of like where we have a conscious understanding of something, mm-hmm. right? We have a conscious idea of what it means to be self-responsible, or what it means to be independent, or what it means to be open-hearted, or what it means to, you know, all of these mm-hmm. things. But then unconsciously there's unresolved stuff that's still there. So those two things are kind of working against each other. So where I always start, and I always start with myself with this too, and I still do all this work, is looking at, okay, what's the underlying belief? Because whatever we have now, like I think it's in that, what's her name who wrote Existential Kink? Do you know this book?
Carolyn Elliott.
Yeah. And where she says evidence, like having is evidence of wanting. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same. I look at it in a similar way. Yeah. It's such a great book. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we're looking at, all right, what's happening in your life? Mm-hmm. And it's like whatever is happening is evidence of what your beliefs are. Mm. So if you don't have what you want, then what is in the way of that? And let's clear that out. So I always start with belief work, and then it will be like, okay, now the beliefs are aligned with this, mm-hmm. then it's like, all right, so how do you want to play? Like, what can you add more of in your life? Maybe it's more dance. Maybe it's more time, free time, like not doing anything, being less scheduled. But once the belief is clear, it becomes very obvious what it is for each person that means more play for them.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense, especially when you relate it to that book and how, you know, what's happening in our life is what we want. And can we embrace that and she's more about like, okay, fine, get off on it.
Right.
You know? But like what you're saying is understanding it more and then taking the time to shift that. And I have not studied neuro-linguistic programming, but I want to. And mm-hmm. I had a good conversation about it recently with Celeste Bonin, if anybody wants to check that out. And I know enough about it, but to know that like how it can reprogram you.
Yeah.
But maybe you can speak to how you've used it and how maybe you use it in these situations with people and to affect our sexual.
Yes.
Being or whatever yeah. word we want to use.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the conscious use of language mm-hmm. and how I really utilize NLP. One of the gifts I feel like I came into this world with is being able to sort of really pick out what people's language is and what they're really saying. So it's like someone will say a sentence and I'm like, oh, that's a limiting decision. Or like, what's underneath that? Why did you say that? Mm-hmm. So I really start to look at with people and, you know, if you're at home, you can notice this as well. Like, what are the common thoughts you have? What are the common things that you say about yourself? What do you say about life? What's possible? What's not possible for you? All of these kinds of things. And with NLP, there's a bunch of different tools that we have that help us rewire basically the mm-hmm. neurology. And often people think of our neurology is just being in the brain, but it's actually in every cell of our body. So there's neurotransmitter in every cell of the body. So it's like working somatically in a way.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's we're literally clearing the cellular imprint mm-hmm. of the old way of being and replacing it with something that is actually empowering. And then that allows also to become aware of how our language always leads us to where we need to go. Like, oh, I can't do that, or that's so hard for me, or this is how I am, or like all the ways that we identify ourselves and the labels we put on ourselves. And NLP is very much about looking at how we box ourselves in with our language and how we can blow out the boundaries of those boxes so that we can actually become who we really are.
It's a constant practice for me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's getting better, but I have to stay really conscious of it. Do you? What's it look like on a day-to-day basis for you?
I feel like at this point it's much easier. However, the further I get, the more that I discover of places where there's things that I can
like
share.
What? Can you give me an example?
Yeah, sure. So right now, actually, my husband and I are doing a lot of shifting of stuff sexually. So in our...
Can we talk about that?
Sure. Let's talk about it, please.
Yeah. I would love to hear that, because you guys have been together how long now?
We've been together about 5 years.
Okay.
That's 4 or 5 years.
Considerable. And to be shifting stuff sexually, that's exciting. You know, yeah. Like... So no matter where you are in your relationship, there's like spaces you can find.
Yes. And in fact, our whole relationship, like when we started our relationship, we've always had a really strong sexual connection and we had very different preferences around what we preferred the most in sex. Huh. So that's been our, like, the biggest crucible of our relationship, the biggest place of growth. It's been the biggest place of frustration, but also the biggest place of expansion for us. And coming to, okay, like, where do these preferences come from? What do we believe that create these preferences? Like, where are there limiting, where are we limiting ourselves inside of our preferences? Where can we, you know, expand
like,
outside
no,
of that.
No, this is what I like.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And being like, okay, but what about if I shifted something and then I could explore this other thing and see what's available for me in that. And it's been such a gift for us to actually have come together in quite different, in some ways, in other ways we're very compatible sexually, but just our biggest preferences were quite different. So, and we've both done a ton of like excavation of our own limiting beliefs. It's been actually the most perfect thing for us.
Really? Because
I don't think either one of us would have done the level of work and had the level of growth that we've both had if we came into our relationship and we both liked exactly the same thing. Because we
it's
had
a blessing.
Yeah, we had to figure it out. Because it's like either we figure it out or we're not together anymore.
Wow.
And we wanted to figure it out.
Can you give a specific example? I'm really curious.
I know you're really. I'm sure everyone is.
Everyone is.
Okay. So I'm just like, what will Gabriel be okay with me
I know,
sharing?
Right? He knows what you do, though. So, you know.
That's true. Okay, so do you know much about the sexual blueprints?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like erotic,
like sensual, kinky, this kind of stuff. So when we came into relationship, I was primarily energetic sensual. So I like things like everything to be clean. I like, you know, the mood lighting. I like the nice smells. If something's a bit messy or a bit dirty, then that could be something that could pull me out of my experience.
Can totally relate. I'm energetic mostly. So.
Yeah. Gabriel was mostly kinky sexual.
Got
and
it.
Liked a lot of mess.
Okay.
So it was really a lot for me, my sensual shadow, to be with the amount of messiness that he liked. And okay. I'd be like, why would you want things to be messy? Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And so we've had like a lot of, and he was very set on like, this is the best, this is who he is and this is his identity. And this is just, you know, he felt very like anchored in that. And, but he also had like quite an, when we first were together, he was like watching a lot of porn and stuff like that. So he had, porn had very much shaped his, preferences from quite a young age.
Very common.
Yeah, very, very common. So the exploration that he went into is, what are, if like, what are the preferences that are truly expressions of my soul? And what are the preferences that have been created through the conditioning of porn? So that was what he got to explore. And then for me, what I got to explore was, again, also like, what's my conditioning? And also, where can, what else might be available? Like, what's outside of if I actually can embrace the mess, mm-hmm. you know, and someone who's like, as I think I mentioned earlier, right, such a perfectionist, coloring every line yeah. the same way. It's like, what better than to be with someone that encourages me to be messy, the mm-hmm. person who never wants to be messy.
Yeah.
So it's been like really liberating for me to be like, what about if I found the play and the fun in the mess and it didn't need to be perfect? And that's been very liberating for me and very confronting.
Yeah, I bet. There's yeah. so much growth to be had yeah. though when you really allow the other person to tell you in both directions, mm-hmm. you know? And 'cause I can relate to some of that in my relationship and how it's opened me up. And I know that there's a lot more there, but I think that that was a really good example.
Mm, good.
Yeah. Because I'm sure everyone was like, you know, does he just want anal you know, like, or something yeah. like that, you know, but no, like really paying attention to those kind of preferences. Because one of the things for me, I think, that has surprised me the most that I've talked about some is that I didn't even know what I wanted. Mm. And so that was a space that I had to really get into. Cause like people may hear their blueprint type and you can take the test and everything, but are you really in touch with what you really want? And that's been a huge space for me just to be like, okay, it's okay to want what I want. Now, do I know what I want? And I've even asked friends, do you know what you want? And they're like, I'm like, no, do you really know? Like, you know what he likes, but do you know what you want? And so there's a lot of that in there too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was huge for me. Like when I started dating Gabriel, was he asked me what I wanted and I'd never been asked before by cool. a previous yeah. partner. And it was my go-to answer was like, I don't know. What do you want? Put it back on him.
Right.
And it was really confronting to realize how little I knew about that. And then to kind of start to really get into like, oh, what do I like? And then to feel confident enough to ask for it. Mm-hmm. That was the next edge.
Yeah, letting go of judgments, because I think then you can be like, oh, wait, is that wrong?
Yeah.
Is that how it's done? No, nobody does that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then the next edge was to actually be able to receive it with like to really receive it without feeling guilty, without feeling like, okay, I need to get you to stop so now I can focus on you. Like, so it's, I feel like sex is such that crucible for us to see all of our patterns in life actually, and all of our patterns in relationship, because it's like the microcosm, you know, of everything.
Are you ready to uplevel your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure. With more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at Wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at Wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code Amy Edwards at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, Wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells. And it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Yeah, because you can be like, relate it to your life when you're like, no, that's too much praise for me. That's too much for me to receive.
Yeah.
Rather than I've been working on the mantra, it's easy for me to receive. Mm. And, you know, I know that sexually I do have a point where I, and I've told him, I'm like, I worry that you're getting bored. And he's like, I'm never bored. And I'm like, well, I worry that, you know, like, are you bored? Are you comfortable? Are you happy? Does your neck hurt? Does, you know, like, or I mean, you know, like whatever it is. And so what do you do to let go of those? Or what do you tell people to do?
Well, again, timeline therapy.
Really? What is timeline therapy?
Okay. So timeline therapy is basically, so there was a time where you decided to believe something. So before the belief, there's a decision. So in timeline therapy, we're clearing limiting decisions. And you may have decided this, and obviously different people believe different things, but it could be in this lifetime, could be in a past life, or it could be someone, you know, it could be a generational thing, right? Something your mother decided, or your grandmother, or your great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those, and in fact, more often than not, the decision point is not a huge thing that happens in our life, right? It can be such a small moment that we're not even aware of, like, it.
Not conscious of it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the decision is made, or it's so early in childhood that we don't have memory of it, or, you know, if it's past life or generation, obviously we're not going to know about it. Mm-hmm. So what we do in timeline therapy, it's sort of like a form of hypnosis, but you're aware and present, and we go back and we ask the unconscious mind, because the unconscious mind has all the information, right? Mm-hmm. Like it has the full record of everything, and consciously we're only aware of a small fraction. So we ask the unconscious mind when that decision was made, and we go back and we clear it from the root, because once you decide something, once you have a belief, then as you move through your life or your lives, or as the generations go through, things will happen, and unconsciously you're like, oh yeah, that's more evidence of this belief. So you start piling it on. So you get this, it's sort of like you've built a case for why this is true. So there's all these different events, all this evidence that gets piled up that then becomes you believe that it's true, right? This is true because all this evidence says it is. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the root, the first decision, because if you clear something at the decision point, then you clear everything else after it. Because if you no longer believe that it's true, or you can see that it's untrue, that you can also see that all the other evidence isn't true either. So that's what we do in timeline therapy, is we go back to the root cause, we clear it there. And we do that by having you see it from a higher perspective to gather the learnings, the positive learnings that allow you to let go of that belief easily and effortlessly, right? So it's like a perspective shift.
Yeah. Well, so do you look at maybe what just other perspectives there were in that situation?
Yeah. So it's like, what does your unconscious mind need to know that will allow you to let go of this belief easily and effortlessly?
Okay.
And then you just, things start coming. It's like, oh, I'm perfect and I'm innocent. I am, you know, like, I'm powerful. I get to make my own choices. Like, all these things start coming up. It's really fun. And also it always gives me chills. Like when I'm working with people and they're having like all these positive learnings come in, I'm like, yeah, that's so cool. That is so true. Like,
are people ever worried that they're not getting to the root of it? I mean, like, 'cause I would be a little bit like, oh, but what if it goes back further than that? Or what if, you know?
Well, that's why we ask the unconscious mind, first of all, where it comes from. And there's a series of questions, and it just...
I think you've got to unpack that. Like, yeah. Where does your doubt come from? Like, exactly. Where is that? Like,
yeah.
So you have a series of questions that goes back.
Yeah, to get them to that, to where the decision was made. So it's a like rapid fire question. So it's just like, you know, letting the unconscious mind pop it up rather than consciously trying to think about it. And sometimes people do get a little in their head, and then I'm just like, conscious mind, take a break. Conscious mind, go to sleep. And then the unconscious mind comes back and shares. But that's probably a belief to clear about the
It probably the is doubt. For me. Like, I don't know how much I trust my unconscious mind to come up with the right thing. Like, is that going to be it? Is that going to be the thing that really clears it? You know, like, I have these doubts, like, but is that it? You know, I just think I don't have that great of a memory.
Well, it's not, but that's your conscious mind. You know, your unconscious mind knows everything.
True. I do agree. Yes. Yeah. Of course. It's not a matter of agreement. That's a fact. It does. Yeah. It's holding it all in there. It's all in there somewhere.
Yeah. And you may have had experiences in your life where something's happening, right? You're in some experience and all of a sudden something pops up, like an old memory, and you're like, oh, like, that's funny that this came up now. But that's always like the unconscious mind talking to you, of like being like, here, remember, it's like helping you kind of make the links.
Yeah, we're already doing it if we would just pay attention. So have you trained yourself enough to notice when you're in a situation, if something like that comes up, you're like, oh, there's something.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll feel like, I feel like there's something here. Like, there's some kind of like, I'm limiting myself in some way, but it won't be immediately clear to me what it is. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, okay, let me just sit with that for a little bit, and then something will pop up, or it will suddenly come into my mind. Oh, it's this thing. Mm-hmm. Or I might remember something from the past. Or when I write down a limiting decision, when I've got it, and then I'll suddenly see all like these times in my life that where like I believe that, and certain things happened because of that belief.
So there's a level of like training yourself to do this work and get in the habit of it.
Yeah.
Do you find your clients like are able to do that? Like get in touch with, you know, maybe even writing it down. I think writing it down would help me, you know, to like at least discern where these beliefs are, and like then maybe see, just sit with it and see like, oh, I'm remembering, you know, something about my dad or my sister or, you know, a childhood friend, something yeah. like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I find with clients sometimes when we first start, it's like they're not really sure mm-hmm. what it is. And then the more that we'll work together, then they'll be like, oh, I discovered that I have this limiting belief about this thing or that thing. And so, and some of them all know, and then some of them might not know it exactly from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But generally, the more that they do the work, the easier it is for them to identify.
Are they kind of all over the place too? Or is it mostly in childhood? Do you just notice kind of a wide range of ages that these beliefs are formed?
Oh, well, yeah, beliefs can be formed anytime. Like you could form a belief yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, so the longer it's held, the more, obviously, the more impact it's going to have on your life.
Do you feel like most people's go back pretty damn far?
Yeah. Yeah. I've worked with different people. Like I've worked with some clients where it's all in this life.
Yeah.
And it's mostly around a similar age of childhood. And then I've worked with clients where it's like past lives and, you know, all kinds of.
Were they surprised?
Sometimes, but not always.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so they were kind of conscious of these past lives or?
No. But these are people usually who are open to that being something that could happen.
Okay. You know? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm open to it, but I don't have any clue about what it would be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like sometimes for me, when I do a session, Gabriel knows how to do it, so he does it for me. I used to do it just for myself, but I found it's actually better if someone else is guiding the session than if I'm doing it for myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just like more, because otherwise I have to switch sort of between my unconscious mind and conscious mind, and which I can do, but it's not. It's easier if I can just surrender and relax and let him guide me.
That makes sense.
So, although sometimes I'll be like, you missed saying this thing. Correcting it from the sidelines, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going back into it. But he's generally pretty good. But yeah, sometimes it will come as like I'll get a very visual picture, or sometimes it will just be a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just a knowing. So yeah, it's very interesting.
It's super interesting. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it, and I can think of spaces in my life and in my beliefs. I've been looking at a lot of my own beliefs in the last few years, obviously, because I'm sitting here, you know, doing this. I think I want to ask you about how you experienced shifts doing belief work and your sexuality to call in your partner and like how you shifted into who you became. I think that can resonate not only for people that are not in relationships, but people who are, mm-hmm. because I still have to lean into those things, even in my relationship. We've been together almost 3 years, and I'll still, you know, lean into what like high value practices, you know, of like leaning back into myself and taking care of myself and really knowing my worthiness. And like, it's amazing how fast it can shift our energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get there and how do those practices look in your relationship now? Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. It does. Yeah. So I'm 43 now. Gabriel and I have been together almost 5 years. And
how old is he?
He's 8 years younger than me. So that was also something I had to overcome.
I'm with someone 15 years younger. So yeah, I get it.
I was like very much like no at first. But
so he must have been in his 20s when y'all got together?
Yeah, he was like 29, I think, when we got together. So by the age of 34, I had never been single in my whole life. Like that's not quite true, but from about the age of 16 to 34, I was in back-to-back relationships and a marriage in there as well. And what would always happen for me was, and I realized this later as I looked back on my patterns, was I'd always kind of like line someone else up before the relationship
was done. The back burner. You got something going. Yeah.
Then so it just like slipped from one to the next. So there would never be even a day of being single because I just had no concept of how I could be alone. I didn't want to be alone. And I would sort of pendulum swing from like the bad boy to the super nice guy to the bad boy to the nice guy to the bad boy. And each time I'd be like, the bad boy, I feel so unsafe. And then I go to the nice guy and then I'd be like, I feel so bored. I just go back and forth. So when I was 34, I found myself single. And it was the first time that I left a relationship without a backup. And I had a really strong awareness that I really needed to discover who I was separate from who I was in relationship.
Yeah.
And I thought that that would probably take me a couple of months and then I'd be good to go again. And that's not how it went.
The list a little later.
Yeah, I was like, I remember saying to like my sister, I was like, yeah, I need to be single. I was like, a couple of months and then I'll be good to go. And I remember her looking at me strangely, but I was like, no, I'm telling you, a couple of months and I'll be good to go. So that then led to, and I had a couple of years of being single. And during that time I was living in London, and then I had bought an apartment there and in like a sort of where it was still credit crunch recession time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then it had massively skyrocketed in value. And I started doing yoga. And then I got introduced to ayahuasca. And then I sat with ayahuasca. And then my whole identity crumbled. And I was like, oh my God, whose life am I living? This is not, you know, I do not belong here. And I also realized that I needed to go off and travel and kind of like expose myself to things that I didn't know what they were going to be yet. So it's like my frame of reference is too small here. Like I'm not going to learn what I need to learn if I stay in this place. And it was very comfortable and I loved my life and I loved my friends and I loved my home and I didn't want to leave, but I just intuitively knew I had to. So from there, I then went traveling with not much of a plan and ended up meeting a Colombian girl who had connections to shamans, indigenous shamans in Colombia and South America, and then ended up...
Did you speak Spanish?
I did not.
Okay.
But I learned a little bit on the way, but I didn't know any to begin with. Now I'm like, I don't really know what Spanish I still know. But at some point I was able to understand most things, which was good.
Nice.
So I traveled with them and that was very, very eye-opening for me and really got to look at a lot of my patterns and my codependency and still make a lot of mistakes along the way and learn things about myself and finally ended up in Bali. Had in there as well a relationship with a guy who was like a legit narcissist. Uh-huh. And that was the relationship where I really had to go, oh my God, look at this pattern that I have. And I had this moment where I saw a vision of myself as being on like some show where, you know, those ones where they're like, I didn't know I was married to a serial killer or something like that. And I was like, oh God, this is what's next for me. Because every relationship was just getting worse and worse and worse. And I was like, I have to do something about this. Like this, I'm the common denominator. This pattern comes back to me. I'm not discerning. I'm like looking for someone to complete me. I'm looking for someone who I perceive as powerful so that I can feel powerful, someone who I think will see my power and bring it out in me. Mm-hmm. But then I'm attracting other people who are also pretending to be powerful and not really. And so it was just like creating all these.
Wow.
But yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I was like, I really, really need to sort my shit out because I don't want to be that woman that her husband stole all her money or, you know, like all those sorts of things. And I was like, that's what's next for me if I don't sort this out. So then I really got really, really serious about it. And for a while I was very scared to have any more relationships because I just didn't trust myself to choose. And I was very closed off for quite some time because I was like trying to figure out, you know, what my patterns were and how to clear them.
That's such an important thing to point out.
Yeah.
Because like so many people go through that.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a pattern path forward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Gabriel and I knew each other for a year before we got together. Mm-hmm. And when I first met him, I was extremely turned off because he was very friendly and very nice. And I thought he had like a puppy dog energy. And I was like, I only like bad boys, so get away from me.
But you do like puppies, probably.
Yeah, puppies are so cute. And but he just had like this sweetness about him, and I was just not into it, right? Mm-hmm. And I was also around a lot of women who were single. And we were living in Ubud in Bali, which if anyone's ever been there, there are a lot of single people and it's like a lot of women. And the story that everybody had was there are no good men in Ubud.
Oh, yes. That like, and, chestnut is everywhere, right? There's no. The more you say that, okay then.
Yeah. Nobody wants a – and if there is a man, he doesn't want a committed relationship and he's too feminine and like all this stuff. So we all had all these stories and we're all – just spouting these things and reinforcing them to each other. And then one of my friends started a relationship. And I said to her, oh, like, how did you meet him? What happened? She was like, well, I just realized that I was telling myself this story that there's no good men here. And I decided to stop saying that. And when she said that to me, I was like, huh, that makes a lot of sense. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to tell myself that story anymore. Like, why wouldn't there be an amazing man here that could be my partner? And when the time is right, it's going to happen. And what I also did in that time was I really focused on filling up my own cup and really enjoying myself and really enjoying my life and really enjoying what it meant to be single and to have no responsibilities and to be able to totally, you know, decide everything for myself and not have to consider anything. So I was filling my cup and then I heard that from her and then I was like, okay, I'm shifting that belief. So I shifted that belief. And then Gabriel and I got together like 2 weeks later. Yeah. So it was like letting go of that belief and also coming to a place where I got to the space where I genuinely felt if I'm never with anyone again, I will be perfectly happy. And although I would love to have that partnership and someone to share that with, I also can be totally happy and satisfied alone. And that was really, really powerful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same. I did the same thing pretty mm-hmm. much. I mean, like I didn't do it in Bali, but yeah, I agree completely. And it's so interesting to notice what's being said and not participate in it anymore, just to put the brakes on things. Because even now, if someone's listening and they're in the dating scene, if you're talking to other single people, even here in Austin, I'm sure you've heard it a million times. They're just saying like, oh my God, the dating apps suck. There's nowhere to meet people, you know, like just on and on. And I was like, I'm rejecting all of that. If I'm not enjoying it, I'm not going to do it. And so I was like, if I'm going to date, I'm going to enjoy it and have a good time. And worst case, I make a friend. No, worst case, what? I don't make a friend? I don't, you know? And like, I just decided, it's just a deciding to cut off those other ways that people have adopted as truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is precisely what you did. And that's the great paradox of attracting a mate.
Yeah.
I think. Because once I did it, then also I think I stepped into like, noticing people that were on a more of a growth path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like for Gabriel and I, that's like our biggest shared value and why our relationship really works and why we've been able to create the relationship that we have is because we have a shared value of growth mm-hmm. and the desire and the ability to take action also on that. Because a lot of people can talk about it and then not do very much about it. Mm-hmm. But like, I really feel like that's the key ingredient to make any relationship work. If two people are both ready to grow, willing to grow, and like happy to look at their stuff and keep moving through it, that's what creates like the real juicy, amazing nectar of relationships.
What do you tell people that are in a relationship where they feel like their partner's not in that growth mindset?
That I feel like is hard. And I would encourage the person then to focus on their own growth, mm-hmm. and then see what happens. Because sometimes people get so focused on trying to get their partner to grow that they forget that like they're not doing it themselves, God, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, do you do the growth? You focus on you, fill your cup, like get yourself glowing and feeling amazing. And if your partner is going to, like, they're either going to be like, what's going on here? Like, this mm-hmm. is amazing. Like, I want to be part of this. Or you're just going to end up going your separate ways. And either outcome is going to be the best thing for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then once you're in this, I feel like it just feeds into that playful spirit.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, comes across in all the things that you do, is talking about this. I mean, what you wrote on your intake form and is on your website, like give you all the permission to live your dream fucking life of sipping champagne and, you know, rolling down hills, like your experience. Yeah. What, you know what? I'll finish it too, in case anyone wants to hear it, right into the arms of your hunky hubby, all while doing some wild multidimensional generational past life quantum healing. What happened after you had that mushroom experience where you're rolling down the hill? How fast did you shift into like, oh, I need to be having more fun?
Oh, immediately. I was like, yeah, I've gotten way too serious. And that can happen for me, you know, it's like, it's something I come back to where I'm like, oh, getting too serious again. It's time to come back to the play. Mm-hmm. And every time I do that, I feel like so much opens up for me. It's like, I think that, and sometimes it's, the piece for me that's been the biggest shift in that, and something that I still feel like there's another little layer in there to get to, but it's like this idea that things need to be hard in order to be good. You know, like it can't be so easy. It can't be so effortless. If you have to really work for it, then it's worth more.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the piece that sometimes can, I've done some work on shifting some of that stuff, but I feel like even as I'm speaking, I'm like, yeah, there's totally more I can do there. Because I feel like that's what sometimes brings me back out of the play.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I forget that. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm making it hard again. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't need to be hard. If it's this hard, there's something up. Like,
come I've gotten back. Real wrapped up in that. Like, especially with where money's involved and been like, oh, I have to earn it and I have to work and everything. Mm. And the other day I was like, I really prefer when it just magically comes my way, which happens.
Yeah.
Every now, it just happened not too long ago. And so I really just prefer that. So I'm like, why am I putting this belief on myself? Like, I have to do it this way, or it has to be hard.
Yeah.
And I think that can probably apply sexually to your relationship too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, it should.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like even just shifting the mindset of like when we discover something that's limiting us, instead of being like, oh my God, can't believe that this has been here and it's so bad, and being like, oh, that's fun. Oh, that's exciting. God. I just discovered that.
Yes.
Now I get to clear that. How fun is this? I wonder what's going to be like on the other side of that. Like, that's what I'm really, that's how I'm approaching it now. It's like, it's this exciting game of like the mystery of what comes next after.
Yeah.
Like, I discovered that.
I've been totally doing that. I'm in Al-Anon. And I've been doing 12 steps, but I'm still on 4. But it's about resentments. And now, uh-huh. like, when I find a resentment, I get excited. And I go, oh, my God, I get to write this one down. And I get to figure out my role in it and release it and stuff. But it's the same thing. Like that's such a quantum shift when you go like, oh my God, I'm excited. Like, this is something else I get to clear. This is another layer I get to go deeper. This is another spot I get to open up. And like, And I think there's an element in there too of not taking it so seriously.
Yeah.
Just when we're talking about this, right? Because we're like laughing about it. Like we're not taking it so seriously and getting down on ourselves and beating ourselves up.
Yeah.
Do you have some clients that are a little older and, you know, how do they feel about it?
Yeah, I've worked with women from a whole different ranges. I've worked with women who are like in their 70s. And worked with women who are in their 20s.
I just feel like sometimes women who are like turning 30 can feel like they're so old and behind or something. And you're not, you know?
Yeah, I actually feel like the younger ones are so much more serious than the older ones.
Really?
Because I also feel like the life experience, you know, as you get older, you're like, oh, like I'm not going to sweat these things so much. And there's also, you know, something that can be more malleable in a younger person. It can be a little harder to shift things as we get older, but it's still totally, you know, possible.
I guess people that come to you are probably already pretty open to it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
They've already made that jump to like, okay, I can do this, rather than like, can I do this?
You know?
But if somebody's listening, you can.
You
just
totally
decide
can.
That you want to.
Yeah. And I think
probably
that
a story there.
I feel like, yeah, and that's another something that I really worked through a lot is for years I had always this story of like, I'm too old for this or I'm too old for that. Like when I was 8 years old, we moved to this this country place and we lived by the ocean and I saw some kids surfing and I was like, oh, I want to learn to surf. But I was like, oh, I'm too old to learn to surf.
Right, right.
And so I never learned to surf. And when I was like 16, I was like, why the hell did I not learn to surf when I was 8? Because I'd be so good by now. And then I was like, but I'm too old now, so I can't do it. And throughout my life, I kept just saying, I'm too old for this, I'm too old. And then I'd get older and be like, why didn't I do it back then? And so when at 29, when I moved with my ex-husband to London, I was like telling myself, I'm too old to move countries now. I'm too old. And then I was like, no, this has to stop because I'm going to look back on my whole life and be like, oh, I was too old, too old, too old, too old. And be like, why the hell didn't I do any of that stuff? So that was where I cut that one off. I was like, I'm doing it. No more. I'm too old for things.
Tell me you've learned to surf.
No, I have not. I have not. I have not.
Okay, by
but
50,
now I don't
by
want
50,
to
you're going
I'm
to.
Like, what if I hit my nose? Now I'm like more safety conscious.
I know. My daughter started last year at 17 and she kicked ass at it. And like, I didn't do it though.
Yeah.
But I'm a little fearful of the ocean. But you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Maybe. I don't feel as
Maybe
excited
it
by
it. Maybe it
passed. That one passed.
That one passed.
Yeah.
But it's a good analogy
for
all these things. When I took up music around 40 years old and started playing guitar and writing songs and stuff. And so people were like, I wish I could do that. And I was like, go right ahead, you know? And they were like, no, I can't. And I was like, why? Like, why? Mm-hmm. You know? And it's just a story. Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally all it is. In fact, people kind of dig it when you're older and you try something new. And it's good for your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And the sexual expansion, though, has gotten me a little bit. Like, I would say, like, just last year was really when I think I started opening up more to it. I also quit drinking. And I don't know if those things go together. They might. But I really started opening up in different ways. And a part of me was beating myself up just a little bit, even though it was happening. And a little bit like, why are you so behind? And, like, you should have done this sooner. And I just think I think there's almost a level of shame sometimes. Can you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, I feel like there's also divine timing, you know?
That's what I have to lean into believing rather than like, you know, like I'm sitting here right now having these conversations and I wasn't before. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. But not on this show and like maybe that's why. I am, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's a piece about being grateful for all the things you have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, when I think back of, like, I didn't really start my sort of spiritual journey, I guess, like in earnest until I was maybe like 34, 35. And I meet all these people who are like, you know, still in their 20s and they're like, I started meditating when I was 13.
I know. And they're like super wise. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
And I'm like, I love that. And there was a time where I was like, oh my God, why didn't I start doing this stuff earlier? And then I'm like, you know what though? I had so much fun being like a naughty little party girl. You know what I mean? Like, and there was a lot of like crap as well, and a lot of pain and a lot of heartache and all the rest of it. But also like I've really lived, you know, like I've had a lot of different experiences in my life. It's not just one note. And so I feel like there's such beauty in the one note, right? Of these people who started their journey and never experienced half the stuff the darkness that we probably went through. And that's beautiful too. And that's needed. And for like, I can see so much in when I work with people of like the breadth of my experience and the amount of shit that I've experienced and had to work through and challenges and like really understanding what that's like has really helped me in being able to support these people.
Totally.
So yes. Yeah, so I feel like there's just like it's always perfect, and it's like whenever we come to things is like the perfect moment. And it's great for I feel like sometimes that we have come later to things because there are other people who are later as well, and then they're like, oh wait, if you can do this then I can do this.
Yeah
which
has so much value. I cherish that so much. Like I want to be that for people. I want to be like this, you know, person who's like, come on. It's okay if you're 50, 60, 40. It doesn't matter. Like mm-hmm. You can do it. So is there anything that we've missed that you want to talk about today? Because we're right like at an hour. So I want to just
I feel like, really highlight. Good about you what do. We spoke. I love it. I feel like it's been such a twisty, turny and fun and organic conversation.
I like to weave your own story in there as we go. So, and it's so interesting how you've gotten here. How'd you even end up in Austin?
Oh, okay. So I'd never been to Austin before. And Gabriel and I were living in Bali, and I had this really strong, just intuitive knowing that we needed to be here. And I've had that once before when I, with my ex-husband, where I knew we needed to move to England, actually twice before, when I knew we needed to move to England and when I knew I needed to leave England. Mm-hmm. So the first time where it happened, where I knew I needed to move to England, I was like, not at the level where I could be patient and sort of share my desire and wait for him to get on board with it or not. I was just like, it's happening, and kind of railroaded him into it, which didn't, you know, pan out so well. So this time when I left England, it was just me. So I didn't need to worry about having anyone else being on board. But when I had this strong intuition for Austin, I also knew it needed to be a joint decision. Like my husband mm-hmm. also really needed to feel that and know that. And when I first floated the idea, he was like not at all keen. Mm-hmm. And so I really had to sit with my desire and just trust that if it was truly going to happen, it was going to happen. And at one point he was like, okay, I'm on board with it. We booked things and we're going to come. And then he canceled it and was like, no, actually, I never want to go there at all. And so I was like, this is very interesting because this really feels like we're going, but we have canceled everything. And he approached me 2 weeks before we eventually came here and being like, I think we need to go to Austin. And we ended up arriving just a couple of weeks after we were originally going to be here. But it was like everything had to be canceled. It had to be a full no. And then time needed to pass. And then he came around to it. And then it all happened very quickly.
So you just sort of dove into trust in that whole thing.
Yeah. I was just like, I know when I know things mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm willing for it to be uncomfortable and trust that it's going to be perfect and work out exactly as it's meant to, and that there's something for me that I don't know about yet. And it's been, we love it. We both love it. We're never going back to Bali now. He's like, I never want to go back there.
What?
He's such an extremist. Once he's committed,
never.
I've said he's like a boulder. Like, you have to be sure where you want him to be, because once he's there, he's very hard to move. So he'll probably never want to leave.
Oh, wow. Huh. That's so interesting. But I mean, it was interesting that you didn't, did you get mad or did you just sort of relax?
I just kind of relaxed. Like, obviously I was a bit, I was confused and it was frustrating, but I just relaxed into it because I really knew that, for one thing, also with him, like, it's not going to work if I convince him.
Yeah.
Like, he has to decide it for himself.
That kind of goes for anybody, though.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
We don't need to be convinced. You've just got to, and maybe, and honestly, you just leaning back was just like, all right, I'm relaxed about this.
Yeah. And I think it helped that it was funny that 2 weeks before, no, I think it was even a week before he was like, okay, let's go. He'd said, we'd been to a friend's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And we were chatting and she's like, oh, are you still going to go to Austin at some point? And I was like, yeah, we're probably going to get there at some point, just not now. And on the way home in the car, Gabriel was like, why did you tell her we're going there? I never want to go. And I was like, well, the last conversation we had, you said you wanted to go there at some point. So I was like, okay, if you don't want to go, we're not going to go. Like, our marriage is more important to me than where we live. And I think that him just having that permission of like, if he doesn't want it, it doesn't have to happen, was the thing that really opened it for him. And then the next week he's like, actually, I want to go.
Was so. Working on the other things in your relationship, like your sexual relationship, things like that, do you think that that spilled over into when you have conversations like that, or when you have big life decisions like that, you're able to just handle it and not force it?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess handle it's not the right word, but just not force it.
Yeah. I feel like it, yeah, it always comes down to like, I trust that we'll be able to get through anything and work through anything. Mm-hmm. And I know he trusts that too. And so it's like, we don't need to force it to happen right now. And also, like, it's not really about getting somewhere, right? It's about enjoying each day and our relationship and being in gratitude for the amazing things that we have and the amazing sexual connection that we have, and where the excitement and celebration around continuing to build and open that, and like relaxing into like, this gets to be like a lifelong journey. It doesn't have to be all tied up in neatly in a bow today.
Listen to you getting messy and yeah. Allowing your bow to just fling all over the place. That's awesome. Well, is there anything you want to share or reiterate before we go? Like, anything that you just really want to leave people with?
I feel like it's that whatever is happening right now, like wherever you are, if it's not where you want to be, you absolutely have the power to shift that and to just like have fun with it a little bit, because it really doesn't need to be that serious.
Yeah. Like to find little spaces and start training yourself to have more fun.
Yeah. Right? Because I feel like ultimately permission. That's why we're here. It's so fun to be a human. It's so fun to be in a human body and have senses and like, you know what I mean? Like that's
so
why
many people
we're here.
Are telling a different story, just like dating. They're saying like, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever those are. And I know I've done it, you know, and like I have to consciously shift it. What are your daily practices like? Like what's, you know, what do you rely on to stay in this gratitude space and this more positive way of living?
I'm not really a super daily practices person.
Yeah.
Probably like part of my rolling down the hill thing. But what I do is I really take note of the things that I'm really grateful for in my life. So I really take time each day to really feel like how beautiful my life is and how much I love my husband and how grateful I am for the friendships that I have and the home that we live in and like you know, how much I love my cats and like just the little things of the day to day. That's what I really, I focus on each day. And then I also make sure that I do something fun. So I love going for walks. So I'll go for walks. I'm loving studying Vedic astrology. So I'll do that. So I really sort of connect into like what, like how can I expand today and how can it be fun as I'm doing
Great
it?
Great question. Yeah. How can I expand today and how can it be fun?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to write that down. Mm-hmm. I have to write it down or I'll forget. But I'm really into questions right now and asking better questions. Mm. So that's been like very high on my list. And like even whatever I'm thinking, like an affirmation or whatever it is, how can I shift it into a question? So my mind will start searching for the answers for those things. Like,
I love that.
How can I, what was it? Expand today and make it more fun.
Yeah.
I love it. So thank you. And speaking of expanding, you have a really cool retreat coming up. Retreat? Yes. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Retreat coming up with Leola, mm-hmm. who was on last week. And so, I mean, people can connect with you guys in person. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes.
It looks so cool.
It is so cool. I'm so excited.
I should probably go.
I know. I was thinking that actually before we started. I was like seeing you there. I'd love for you to come.
I think I need to.
So it's happening in New Orleans. I always hesitate over the name because I'm Australian, so my pronunciation isn't always correct. So I was saying New Orleans for a while, but people have said, no, it's New Orleans. So New Orleans, it's starting on Friday the 13th in October.
So cool. Yes.
Super witchy day. So mm-hmm. it's all about embodying the codes of the tantric muse. And this is an archetype that both Leola and I work with a lot. So the muse is that energy of like, how do you become the inspiration? How do you make love to your life? How do you become the inspiration in your life, that permission slip, and sort of like bring that energy of inspiration into your relationship and kind of elevate your relationship through who you are embodied as. So it's all going to be very luxurious because we love luxury.
Me too.
And it's very sensual, and we're going to be doing so many fun things like taking you to a burlesque show, doing some really transformational workshops, and having a lot of fun and play along the way.
You're going to have fun.
Going to have a lot of fun because awesome. I feel like sometimes also like retreats and all of this work, right? It's very deep, but it can get so serious. Mm-hmm. So when Leola and I were putting this retreat together, we were like, okay, how do we want to bring this energy? And we were like, we want it to be deep, but we want it to be playful because the whole point we feel of doing any of this work is so that we can live our most fantastic lives and enjoy ourselves. Like that's mm-hmm. the whole purpose of doing all this spiritual personal development. It's not so we can become more and more serious, but so that we can like actually live our lives and enjoy them.
That's the whole point. I mean, yeah. I think like just to be present and feel good right now.
Yeah.
So beautiful. I'm going to have a link in the show notes to that, and anybody can go click on it, learn more, reach out to you if they have questions, or Leola and sign up. And it looks incredible. It says incorporating principles of Tantra, shamanism, NLP, feminine arts. I love it. So yeah, I'm totally interested. I'm sitting here thinking like, maybe I really should go. Do I have anything going on right then? So thank you so much. And can you share how everyone can find you? You're pretty easy to find. And it'll all be in the show notes as well. But could you also share?
Yes. So Instagram at Sophia_LE_page, or just go to my website, sophialepage.com. And that's really, they're the two best places to find me.
Yeah. And everything's there. Yeah. So yeah. And you have a link in bio as well. Well, no, you have your website in your bio as well. Yeah. And people can find Gabriel too, if they're interested in following him. He looks like he's got a lot of nice things to offer too. So, I just want to thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed our conversation and all that you're doing to elevate everyone's lives, including your own, starting with your own, right? Yeah. So beautiful, beautiful. Thank you too so much for being here today. Maybe we all need to go on that retreat. Do we all need to go? I am totally considering it because sometimes these in-person things can really, we can listen to it, but sometimes you feel called to go to something in person and it really breaks you out and pushes you and gets you in a whole nother field of opening up. And so at least I found that to be true. So pay attention when you feel called to one of these things. And also, again, share one of these episodes with a friend, share this episode with a friend or something. And, you know, that's where we really start asking each other questions and finding spaces that we can expand, and having these conversations just starts to train our mind again to open up and say, like, what stories are we telling? What conversations are we having that aren't necessarily serving us, and how can we shift those? And it makes a huge difference. So please follow our beautiful guest, Sophia. Thank you so much for being here today. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, it keeps you up to date on all the shows and what's going on. And it arrives in your inbox once a week, so you can keep up. And we do have more coming up in our Summer of Sex series. So I am super stoked about that. And I love you so much. That's all at amyedwards.info. You can find my courses. You can find the newsletter. You can find everything, past episodes too, in case you haven't caught up with Leola yet. So thank you so much to Sophia, and thank you to you for being here, because every time you show up for yourself, you are pushing yourself and expanding, like just showing up. That is all you have to do sometimes. And that's fun, right? It helps us relax into it. We don't have to do anything else. You don't have to work hard. We can just like be and have fun. Yeah, sounds good to me. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.